First Fleet, written by Rob Mundell and read by Paul English. The small but stout 75-foot-long two-masted brig was rolling her way south on the face of full-bodied North Atlantic swells, and as she did, her heavy hull and deck timbers responded rhythmically by giving off subtle creaking sounds in time with the ship's motion. It was like a song of the sea. Friendship was only a few days into a lengthy passage that had begun on the 13th of May, 1787. She was one of 11 ships in a unique convoy making its way to a remote destination some 17,000 nautical miles away. Sailing conditions were perfect. A strong east-northeasterly wind was propelling the little armada directly down the rum line towards the first port of call, Tenerife, then 1,200 nautical miles to the south-southwest. At 276 tons, Friendship was the smallest of the six transport vessels in the fleet, a fact that required the brig's 20-man crew to sail her hard if they were to stay in contact with the larger and faster ships. They did not want to be seen as the laggards and cause delays. So, with the wind at the ideal angle, the captain, Francis Walton, had called for every possible stretch of canvas to be set and trimmed for full effect. Three square sails on the foremast, two on the mizzen, the spanker, three staysails, and the jib. Before long, while standing alongside the man on the helm, Walton could look aloft with great satisfaction. All sails were billowing and drawing perfectly, and he could sense the strain on the standing rigging, braces, and sheets. As a result, his proud little ship was averaging around 5 knots, while cutting a swathe of pastel white across a sea that mirrored the hazy grey sky. Any time Walton cast his eye beyond the bulwarks, he could see all 10 of the other ships, the leaders hull down on the horizon ahead, and others in close proximity. Apart from some of those on board still struggling to gain their sea legs, and the absence of sunshine, this was a scene that couldn't be bettered. Yet in a matter of hours, the situation aboard Friendship became unsettled. Trouble was already brewing among the scruffy tars of the lower deck. They were threatening to rebel for reasons that were revealed by one of the ship's two junior officers, Lieutenant Ralph Clark, in his journal. The seamen refused to do their duty on account of their provisions. The complaint was that they would have 2 pounds of beef a day instead of having 1.5 pound, which is at present 0.5 pound a day more than we are allowed. Unbeknown to Captain Walton and his officers, the basis for this mini-uprising had nothing to do with the men being underfed. This disgruntled lot were objecting to the level of their rations purely because of promises they had made to others on board when the fleet was lying at anchor on the Mother Bank off Portsmouth. Days before departure, while crammed into their dingy sleeping quarters near the ship's forepeak, more than 10 of the tars had decided to implement a plan. They knew there was a prize to be won aft of the bulkhead separating their stale-aired digs from another compartment on the lower deck, and they wanted it. In sailors' jargon, it was baggage, hussies, and they were there for the taking. Using what tools they could find, some lifted from the nearby bosun's locker, the men began to carefully, and as quietly as possible, prise away from the overhead deck beam the vertical planks that formed the bulkhead. Initially, the 21 women who were imprisoned in the dank, dark, and unsanitary compartment wondered what was causing the unusual noises. There was a high-pitched screeching sound as each of the fang-like heavy iron nails was gradually wrenched out from the solid oak deck beam. Soon enough, after the first plank had been pulled away, the women wondered no more.